Dr. Kevin McCartney.
All right, thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to be here. This is a great venue for a conference. I'm very happy to be here talking with you this morning about multivariate analysis. In the Department of Experimental Statistics at LSU, we provide statistical consulting for people all across the university, not just the College of Agriculture, not just the LSU Ag Center, but really students, researchers, faculty from all across the university. And my experience, and I think this has been corroborated by several of our speakers this morning, is that most researchers are doing experiments that generate multivariate data, all right? But also it's my experience, when people come in for consulting, what I'm finding out is that most people are analyzing multivariate data one response variable at a time using univariate techniques, all right? And that's problematic for several reasons. Number one, every time you perform a test, every time you analyze a response variable, you open yourself up to type 1 errors, all right? And so if you think about your overall type 1 error rate in the context of your entire experiment, the more response variables that you analyze, all right, the greater the overall type 1 error rate. And so if you are analyzing multivariate data using one variable at a time techniques, all right, then your overall type 1 error rate is really not being controlled. Now, some other problems associated with analyzing multivariate data one variable at a time is that you're really wasting information. I'm always kind of surprised when researchers come in for consulting and they spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort, you know, tromping around swamps and bayous, or maybe going out into the Gulf, exposing themselves to potential risk, and they say, you know, I know I've got a lot of information in here, but I'm not that interested in gleaning all the potential information I can. You know, I really kind of want to waste information. Anybody ever say that in your meetings? No, they don't say that, do they? But that's exactly what they do when they analyze multivariate data using univariate techniques. They're actually wasting information. For example, response variables are typically correlated, all right? Univariate techniques don't take that into account, all right? Multivariate techniques do take that into account. For example, MANOVA, multivariate analysis of variance, multivariate multiple regression, canonical correlation analysis, canonical discriminant analysis, factor analysis, structural equation modeling, all of these techniques take into account the relationships between your response variables. And if you insist on not doing multivariate techniques, but analyzing response variables one variable at a time, all right, you're really wasting that information, right? And so you can potentially glean more information from your data, from your experiment, if you utilize multivariate techniques. And finally, multivariate techniques provide a way for you to get a more global picture of what is going on in your data, all right, that you don't get if you analyze your response variables one variable at a time. So for all of these reasons, if people come in and they have multivariate data, because I've been teaching multivariate statistics since about 2008, I'm always thinking, are there ways that we can incorporate, at least as part of the suite of analyses, some multivariate techniques that may help to control overall type 1 error rates and to help give them a better picture of what's going on in their data. All right, so today I'm going to be talking to you about canonical correlation analysis. Now look, I'm going to be honest with you here. When I first started teaching multivariate stats at LSU back in 2008, we have a variety of different techniques that we talk about, and canonical correlation analysis was not on the top of my list in terms of being a favorite. I really didn't get it, or I didn't see the utility. And I think the reason is that I really hadn't seen applications, or at least I hadn't recognized applications or experiments where canonical correlation analysis would be useful. I'm sure that they had come across my desk, but because I wasn't doing much multivariate up to that point, I really hadn't recognized those kind of opportunities. But I have a colleague who had taught this course before, and he's a mentor also, and in talking to him about it, he had, explained to me how in his own dissertation research, he had utilized canonical correlation analysis quite a bit and gotten much useful information from it. And over the years, in teaching students from oceanography or renewable natural resources or, you know, whatever, many people have said that canonical correlation analysis was actually one of the top techniques that they took away from the class. All right. So over the years, I've gained more of an appreciation for canonical correlation analysis. And, you know, when people come in for consulting, I'm looking for ways to see if this might be applicable. All right. And if you have, if we have time to talk afterwards, if you have ideas on how you can apply this to your own research, I would like to hear about it because it provides more examples that I can talk to my students about in class. Okay. So let's. I'm going to give a quick overview and definition of canonical correlation. Really, the way I explain it in my class is that canonical correlation analysis is a way to relate two sets of variables. So I'm going to be doing some hand gesturing here. All right. So the people here can see this. If you're just listening to this recorded, you're missing a lot of informative hand waving. Okay. So anyway, you've got two sets of variables, and what we want to do is try to understand the relationships between these two sets of variables. Now, when I first started teaching multivariate and you know, thinking about this kind of a question, you know, I guess my initial reaction would have been, well, that's very, very vague. And being kind of a math guy and a stat guy, I don't like vagueness. I like very precise models and very precise questions. But we can answer some very interesting questions by thinking about trying to model the relationship between two sets of variables. We can think of canonical correlation analysis as a generalization of both correlation analysis as well as multiple regression. Now, let's think about correlation analysis. We've got two response variables. We're really not thinking of one being a predictor of another. We've got two responses, and we want to understand this, you know, how they're related. And the correlation coefficient quantifies the strength of the linear relationship between those two variables, all right, and so that's what standard correlation analysis does. Now, with regression analysis, we've got a single response, okay, and then we have one or more explanatory variables, and the idea is we want to either model the variability that we observe in the response via a linear function of our explanatory variables, or we want to try to predict the response, okay, using some linear combination of our explanatory variables. All right, so that's what we're doing with regression analysis. Now, if we think about canonical correlation analysis as being an extension of correlation analysis, instead of having a single response here and a single response here, we have multiple responses over here, and we've got multiple responses over here. And the idea is to find the strength of the relationship, however we were going to define that here in a second, okay, among those two sets of variables. If we think of canonical correlation analysis as being an extension of regression analysis, instead of having just a single response over here and one or more explanatory variables, we have multiple response variables that we would somehow like to predict or explain the variation in using this set of explanatory variables. Now, one way to do that would be to do multivariate multiple regression, okay? But canonical correlation analysis is another approach. Now, just by way of hands, has anybody here done canonical correlation analysis? Wow, okay, that's quite a few people, all right? Well, that's fantastic. So hopefully you guys can talk to me afterwards and tell me how you're using this. Okay, so we can think of canonical correlation analysis as being extensions of correlation analysis and regression analysis, all right? And it involves trying to determine the relationship between two sets of variables. You know, that's how to think about it at an abstract level. So how do we do this? Well, it's very similar to what we do in when we think about multiple regression. Let me explain it this way. Let me see here. Okay. So when we fit a let's think about univariate multiple regression. So we've got one response variable over here, and then one or more explanatory variables over here. And if we think about multiple regression, we've got more than one. So how do we, if you think about fitting that kind of a model, what is the criterion that we use to fit that model, typically? Least squares? Okay, or maximum likelihood, but least squares, okay? And so what we do, another way to think about this, it's an equivalent way to think about it, is we have a single response, we have multiple explanatory variables, and we want to find the linear combination of our explanatory variables that is most highly correlated with our single response variable. Least squares gives us that kind of linear combination. So that's another way to think about how we're fitting that multiple regression model. We've got a single response, and we're going to come up with a single predicted value that is computed via a linear combination of our explanatory variables, and that predicted value is most highly correlated with our observed response among all possible predicted values, okay? With canonical correlation analysis, we can think of this, we can generalize that to the context where we have more than one response variable. We're going to be looking at linear combinations of our explanatory variables. We're also going to be looking at linear combinations of our response variables. And what canonical correlation does is it looks for these linear combinations producing indices that are most highly correlated. Okay? So that's the main idea behind canonical correlation analysis. Now, technically, instead of maximizing the correlation, we're maximizing the magnitude of the correlation through its squared value, okay? All right, so in doing this, in coming up with the linear combinations of the two sets of variables that are most highly correlated, we get these new indices, and these new indices are called canonical variates, and the correlation coefficient between the canonical variates is the canonical correlation. The way that the canonical variates are constructed, they are orthogonal. Let me back up. There are potentially more than one sets or pairs of canonical variates that we can construct. The number of canonical variate pairs that we can construct is the minimum of what I'm denoting here, P1 and P2, where P1 is the number of variables in the first set, P2 is the number of variables in the second set. Okay, so we can construct the minimum of those two numbers, the number of canonical variate pairs. Okay, and so in constructing these multiple canonical variate pairs, they are constructed in such a way that different pairs are uncorrelated with the other pairs. So we're, in a sense, getting or gleaning maximum information about the relationships between the two sets of variables. All right, so how do we calculate these? Well, I don't want to go into too much of this because it's rather dry and not real interesting, but we start off with a response vector, all right, and this is, I'm looking at this from the population view. Obviously, we'd have to sample from, you know, the given population, but from the population view, we have a response vector. I'm going to partition that into two subvectors. I'll call X1 and X2. X1 is a P1 by 1vector. X2 is P2 by 1, all right? We're going to partition the mean vector in the same way, and then we'll partition the covariance matrix for the X vector according to the dimensions of X1 and X2. So cap sig 1 1 is a P1 by P1 sub matrix that has the covariances, the variances and the covariances of the variables in X1. Cap sig 2 2 is a P2 by P2 submatrix that contains the variances and covariances of X2. And then cap sig 1 2 is a P1 by P2 submatrix that contains the covariances between the variables in X1 and the variables in X2. All right, now, one question of interest in trying to ascertain the relationship between these two random vectors is, are any of the vectors in X1 correlated with the vectors in X2? That information is contained in cap sig 1 2. All right, so when we make inferences about this, it's going to be inferences related to cap sig 1 2. All right, so again, I don't want to go into too much of this because it's kind of boring and we don't have a whole lot of time. But what it boils down to is the solution, the mathematical solution to this problem, it's a characteristic root and characteristic vector type of solution, as are many of the problems in multivariate statistics. They boil down to eigenvalues and eigenvectors, okay? So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that. Like I said, the number of canonical correlations that can be extracted from a problem like this is going to be the minimum of the number of variables in the first set and the number of variables in the second set. So how do we interpret canonical variates? We may look at the coefficients that are used to construct the variables, the canonical variates, but that can be problematic because of scaling issues, okay, in the original data. It's better to base your interpretation on the correlations between the new indices, these canonical variates, and the variables, so the original variables that are used to construct them, all right? And that's typically what we do. So in doing this, we can, if we take a given canonical variate, we can try to interpret it based on its correlation with the variables that are used to construct that particular canonical variate, as well as its correlation with the other variables that were used to construct the other variable in that variate pair. All right, so that's typically the recommendation in the literature on this kind of analysis. Now, we need to understand that much like PCA, interpretability is not built into this problem. Have you ever done a PCA and you really can't interpret the principal components? I mean, if you can, that's a bonus, right? The same way here. Interpretability is not built into the problem of canonical correlation analysis like it is in, say, factor analysis, right, where you get an initial solution and then you rotate to get maximum interpretability. We don't have that here. So there may be certain situations where you're doing a canonical correlation analysis, and when you try to interpret it, they're difficult to interpret. But, you know, hopefully, in many situations, you will be able to get some kind of interpretation. Okay, so I want to look at an example now. This is an example to investigate relationships between environment variables and genetic variables for colonies of the butterfly species. Euphydrius editha in California and Oregon. Now, this is an example that I go over in my multivariate statistics class. It comes from one of the recommended resources that I have for that class, a textbook by Brian Manley, all right, and I've got the information here. I'm using the third edition of my class now, but he's recently come out with the fourth edition that's on available, you know, Amazon or whatever. So it's a book that I highly recommend. It's a very nice read, and it's very economical. All right, so the environmental variables that we've got are altitude, annual precipitation, maximum temperature, and minimum temperature. The genetic variables are measurements of phosphoglucose isomerase, and these are gene frequencies. And so apparently there are different colonies that they sampled, and apparently there is spatial or genetic variation with respect to the PGI gene frequencies. All right, so these data, and there were six gene frequency categories. All right, so there are six variables in the data set. And so these variables are used to quantify the extent of the genetic variation in this particular gene, all right? And one thing to note in this data set is that the frequencies contained in these six variables add up to 100, so there's a linear constraint among those six variables, and so when we do the canonical correlation analysis, we're going to leave one of them off. Otherwise, the covariance matrix would be less than full rank. Although I will say that PROC can core and SAS accommodates that and you know, adjust for that accordingly. Okay, here is the basic SAS code to do a canonical correlation analysis of this data set in SAS. We invoke the CanCore procedure. I'm going to save the canonical variate scores to a data set. And then we have to specify the two sets of variables. There are two statements that we use for that, the var statement and then the with statement. And it doesn't matter which set you put in which. All right, so I'm going to be using the var statement to identify my environment variables, and then the with statement to identify my gene frequency variables.
and then we run it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to, and by the way, before I switch over to the other output, here are just a couple of useful references. If anybody is wanting to get into multivariate analysis, these are books that I've used in the past as recommended resources in my multivariate class. Both these books are really good, and I think that Dallas Johnson's book is just superb in, you know, in hitting this material at the right level. Unfortunately, it's out of print, so you may be able to find it online, though.